Book of Revelation tonight, chapter number 2. Book of Revelation, chapter number 2. I found it interesting. I got home Sunday after church, and I made a couple comments about it'd be helpful to have a teenager up here turning my Bible because I couldn't get the pages to work. And Madison, who was sitting right down there during church time, she says, "Grandpa, I almost came up there to do that." Oh, you never know what people might do. Chapter number 2, and I want us to go to the latter portion of this chapter and begin reading verse number 18. Verse number 18. It says, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth their reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and of the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden, but that which you've already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, that they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege tonight to gather. Thank you for the Word of God. And as we meet here in the middle of this week, in the midst of work, in the midst of many different things that take place in lives, I pray that it might just be a time of respite, a time of rest, a time of rejuvenation, a time of understanding, and that through it you might be honored and glorified. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we begin those few verses, we notice one thing there, or at least I hope you noticed it. The Lord's presentation of himself is one of judgment. If you notice in verse number 18, he says, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like brass." Brass is normally considered a symbol of judgment. And then he says, "I know thy works. I know thy works." But in spite of knowing their works, we come to verse number 20, and he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Let's understand, first of all, tonight that when God had the book of Revelation written in chapters 2 and 3, which are individual letters to seven different churches, they are just like the epistles, like that to Galatia, that to Ephesians, and they are that which is very pertinent to the local church. And we find here in this particular church a tremendous problem. We find something had infiltrated this church, and it's labeled Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was the daughter of Ithbaal, the king of Tyre. And he was a Baal worshiper and promoted it. Matter of fact, he came to the throne through murder of his predecessor. And he, as I mentioned, promoted Baal worship. His daughter, Jezebel, marries the king of Israel. And of course, that king is Ahab. And we find that they lived very licentiously. In 1 Kings chapter 16, it says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." I believe, because of who he married, that it comes to light that she had a tremendous influence in his life towards Baal worship. In 2 Kings chapter 9, it says, "It came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, 'Is it peace?' And Jehu, and he said, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" She was one wicked woman. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, it says, "But has walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and has made Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself." So we find here that God is writing to the church at Thyatira, and he's saying to them, "You have allowed something to come into the church, and that something has been labeled Jezebel." So as we look at Jezebel and understand that she was a worshiper of false gods, we understand that they led others in Israel to go after false gods. And God said there was none as bad as those two were. I find it interesting. I have never in my lifetime heard anybody name their child Judas, nor have I heard anybody name their child Jezebel, because they are associated with evil. Now, I'd like for us to notice a couple things in our text. First of all, I'd like to notice in verse 18. Sorry, I lost my spot. Verse number 20. "Notwithstanding of a few things against thee, because thou what? Sufferest that woman Jezebel." In other words, you are allowing her access to bring evil into the church. You are giving unto this woman access in that area. I think about years ago, before I was saved, I actually went to a church, and they had I was probably about 13 or 14, and they finally got a teacher that didn't quit. Up until that grade, we would go through about 3 teachers a year. And they couldn't take our nonsense. And I guess I got paid back for that, didn't they? But there was something about that lady. Though she took over that youth group, and though she had a great heart for us kids, she had no idea about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were allowing somebody to come in and to teach just psychological things to us young people. There are things that are allowed in our churches that bring evil. Let me give you an illustration. This is a hot topic, but music. Music. Think about this for a moment. Many will allow songs that are written by men who have false doctrine, and yet bring him in to the local church. They would never allow him to preach from the pulpit, but he is allowed a place as a musician, which in some cases has as much or greater influence than the preaching, as far as those who are lost. And we find this kind of thing so often. They will take them from church to places of seduction. Did you notice there? To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And so we notice that there are those who seem right, but they're not. Let me mention this tonight. I do not believe that you can say that there is Christian rap. I don't believe tonight you can say there is Christian rock music when these things have really something else involved. And yet we are allowing those kinds of things in many churches throughout our nation. And there's a tremendous need to embrace good theology. You may not like this, but I read the statement that was made in 1959. And the statement was, there is something very marvelous, and I'm not quoting, but very trying to get close. There's something very marvelous about a child when it gets baptized. And thus, I have baptized my 3 children when they were yet very, very small. Infant baptism. The man's name was Billy Graham. And there was some suspect things in that area. Now, I have a friend that got saved as a result of his message one night on the television. And no doubt God used him, but at the same time, some of his doctrine was not right. I never could understand how can you proclaim the Word of God and have men set on the pulpit or on the platform with you who deny it. And yet that went on over and over again. And so we need to be very careful to understand that there is this spirit of Jezebel that wants to enter in. And it comes in the form of people. and they bring disruption, they bring problem, they bring false doctrine. We find in verse number 22 that judgment will come upon her. And judgment will come upon those who allow her to do what she does. And if you notice verse 22, it says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now, I don't believe I would have to stop and explain to most people in this room tonight what adultery is. But have you ever considered spiritual adultery? If adultery is being unfaithful to your wife or your husband, then there is also this, which is giving of ourselves to love another God. And this brings the judgment of God, according to verse number 22. Is the letter to Thyatira relevant today? There are many people who say we live in the age of the Laodiceans. I don't know too many who believe this, but I don't take to the idea that chapters 2 and 3 are giving to us church ages. To me, in order to do that, you have to recognize the Catholic Church as church. I can't do that. And I think each of these books were written to particular churches, but as I mentioned a while ago, all of us can benefit from the writing. And so we can notice something there about spiritual adultery, giving our love to another God. And then we notice something else. I find this fantastic. Here in this church is all this that is going on, and yet there is a remnant of people that the Lord speaks about. And when you get down to verse number 24, it talks about it. He says, "But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." And you could read on with that as we did earlier. But what I see in that is this. God protects the righteous through all of those things. It's amazing how His hand can be upon us with all that is there. Listen, we look around the world today, it's a mess, isn't it? I mean, we are diving into socialism and Marxism at a rate that is unprecedented. We have people in our Congress and the White House that just, I don't think, have any regard for most of the people of America. And we find ourselves in a horrible situation. We have lost respect of nations around the world, but at the same time, we have them coming across our borders like they're porous and bringing in all sorts of problems as a result. But God protects us through all of that. And in our churches, there are things that happen and there are things that come our direction, but God protects us through all of that. And I'm thankful for that. I have seen that in my own life throughout all of these years. God's good. Amen. I want us to go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much for Your tremendous love. Thank You, O God, for Your protective hand. Lord, I pray as we stop and think about this church at Thyatira, we might find ourselves cautious, and that through that we'll not allow that which is evil, that which is false worship, that which is idolatry, enter into this place. For we pray in Christ's name, amen.